Revelations 21:22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, for his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. With me now, here in Revelations 21. I talked last Wednesday night about heaven's geography. You know, the new heaven and the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Old things have passed away and everything's made new. Describe that city. Describe those walls and those streets of gold and those foundations that were laid. Going to be places to go and things to do. A whole new world to see and dwell in. Tonight I want to talk about our experience. What we'll experience while we're there. And what will it be like? Well, I know this. That whatever it's like, we just don't have a clue. You know, other than what the scriptures say. And all, beloved, and when we get up to the end of the time, when our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, they ask him, said, what shall be the sign of thy coming? What shall be the end of the world be like? And our Lord gave some things about it. But we do know that all power is given unto him until that time. But let's talk about our experience when we get into glory. You know, for those that have been saved, those that's been set apart by the Lord Jesus Christ, by the gospel, for the glorified people of heaven, what will it be like? Well, first of all, we start out here in verse 22, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. So here we are, beloved, we must, you know, this is just a vision. This is a vision. There's nothing, absolutely nothing, on this earth that's sufficient enough to represent to us the glory of heaven. Just absolutely nothing. In fact, you know, God gave us a few glimpses and gave his people a few glimpses in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. It's like when Moses went up on the mountain and he saw the glory of God, and the glory shone on him so much that he had to put a veil over his face. And yet that glory there was nothing compared to the glory that we shall see. And when our Lord was transfigured on the mount, when Peter, James, and John were with him, and he was bright as the lightning of the sun and glistening white, and God spoke from heaven, that's not even a representation of it. They all pointed to something greater and much, much greater. In fact, it pointed to the glory of heaven itself. And these are realities that we can't see right now. Faith makes them real to us. Faith makes them something that we long to do. But I tell you, beloved, the Scriptures makes it plain that we will have a place that our soul and our heavenly senses, the senses that God gave us, our spiritual senses, will be so different than what we have now that you can't. I don't know how to explain it. But it tells something of, you know, when we read through these scriptures tonight, we'll see that it gives us some hint of what the partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light is going to be like. Now we'll look at six things looking at these things tonight. First of all, there'll be worship. And it'll be an unhindered worship. An unhindered worship. Look what he says there in verse 22. There beyond it, there's no temple therein. No temple. Now you think about that. No temple in glory. Now the Jews, that's all they're interested in. They're going to the temple. Going to the tabernacle, then the temple. And as their custom was, they went to the synagogue. And just like the Gentiles, us, they all have their temples. They have their places to worship. The people in Athens, Greeks, gods, they had temples everywhere. And here in America, you know, you have places, we have particular places that you go and gather around to worship. But here, beloved, there'll be no temple. There'll be no place for us to gather to worship. Huh? And all, beloved, God had in that buildings that God, you know, in the temple, God's glory came down in that temple. God's glory, that bright light of God's Shekinah glory would come down in the tabernacle, come down among His people. And when they were leaving out of Egypt, God's glory, His Shekinah glory, that cloud that went before them of the day and the fire at night, that's just a little of what we're talking about here. And how in the world are we going to enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His temple with praise unless we got a temple? Well, I'm going to tell you what the temple is. Look at what it says. I saw no temple there. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple. You know where we're going to worship? Right where we worship right now. In our Lord Jesus Christ. Who do we come to worship? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Who do we come to for rest? Our Lord Jesus Christ. And so you see, beloved, they don't need no temple. Christ is there. God is there. We'll see them as they are. And now, you know, Jerusalem was destroyed. Absolutely destroyed. And the temple was destroyed in AD 70. And all the sacrifices were obsolete. But when Christ had been slain, the Lamb had been slain, then right then all the sacrifices and temple worship ceased to be right then. Because Christ was just, all those things were just a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. But I tell you what, and there's people that believe this, and God have mercy on them, that they think that Christ, when Christ comes back, they're going to build another temple like Solomon's in Jerusalem, and everybody's got to go over there and worship. Offer sacrifices again. Here it says there's no temple therein that God and His Son, the Lamb of God, based on Christ's sacrifice, based on the Lamb of God who's already shed His blood, that's who we'll worship there, because He's the final temple. He's the tabernacle of God. He's the great high priest. And He's the once and all sacrifice that was ever offered to God. And that's why we're going to worship Him. That's who will be our temple when we get there. And I tell you what, and there, the center of life, just like it is now. It's in Christ, in God, in Christ. And the worship there will never stop. Here, it stops. Here, we'll sit down and have a few minutes of joy, a few minutes of enlightenment when we're in the Scriptures, a few minutes of understanding, a few moments of worship. But there, beloved, it'll be unceasing worship. Never stops. And it'll be a pure worship. Unhindered. Can you imagine what it'd be like to come into a service just like we are here and have nothing absolutely hinder you? But that's the way it'll be there. That's the way it'll be there. And you know the Scripture says that in glory we shall forever be with the Lord. And there, beloved, we'll behold the Lord in His beauty and be able to inquire in His temple. Let me tell you something else about this. This place in our, you know, in our experience. That's what we're going to have, a perfect worship, unhindered worship. Oh my, no wonder we say what a day that'll be. Secondly, look what it says there in verse 23. We'll have an eternal light, a glorious light. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. No need for the sun? Boy, I tell you, me and Mary's talking today about, boy, that sun, the sun just gives you life. You know, you have them old dark days and old cloudy days and old snowy days, and then you have a day like yesterday, and that sun comes out and warms you up, just perks you right up. Or you imagine like being someplace where it's like that all the time and you don't even need the sun. That we'll dwell in a light that's uncreated. God created the light for us in this world, but we'll dwell in a light uncreated. And that light will manifest the glory of God in Himself. And look what it says there. And there was neither the moon. You know why I don't need sun and moon? Because it's every day. It's always day. It's always light. Oh, the glory of God lighted it up. And the Lamb, again, that Lamb. How many times? We have two verses and the Lamb's mentioned twice already. The Lamb is the light thereof. I want to show you something. You keep this and look in Isaiah 24 with me just a moment. I'll show you something here. Talking about the sun and the moon in Isaiah 24 and verse 23. Look what it says here about it. When our Lord comes, you know, when we get to go to glory. Oh my. Uncreated light is going to manifest the glory and presence of God. And then the Scriptures tells us we shall see God as He is. We'll behold the Lord. You know, our Lord Jesus said, Father, I will that they behold my glory. And we'll behold His glory. And John said, we'll see Him as He is and we shall be like Him. Look what he said here in verse 23 of Isaiah 24. Then the moon shall be confounded and the sun ashamed when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before His ancients gloriously. Sun and moon will be ashamed there. When He ascends that glorious throne. And oh, beloved, I tell you, when it talks about light, for the glory of God lit it up. And the Lamb is the light thereof. When we're talking about light in the Scriptures, we're talking about spiritual understanding, spiritual insight, seeing things in a spiritual sense, a vision that only God can give you. And that's why Paul, when he says, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. To give us the light, the understanding, the sight, the spiritual sight, the vision, to see the glory of God. We're at in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, beloved, and that's what this is. This is what this is talking about. That not only will we see perfectly there, but this light, everything that would hinder us from seeing perfectly, will be gone. Be gone. We'll have that perfect vision. The eyes of the blind will be open. We'll have that perfect vision, that spiritual vision and a physical vision in heaven that only the people of God will have. And it'll be light. Oh, I'm going to show you something else too. Not only will it always be eternal light, unhindered worship. Oh, to worship God. Oh my. And there's been a time or two When we just sat here, you know, in a service and somebody plays something or somebody sang something or some preacher say something and everything just get quiet and still and you feel the Spirit of God just come down over us and you're just taken out of the world for just a few moments of time. Imagine being like that forever. Oh boy. And listen, the third thing we're going to do, we're going to have love, an unclouded love without blemish, a perfect love. Look what it says there in verse 24. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of this city. Where God lights it up, the Lamb's the light of it. And this, the nations who are saved shall walk. Now, I don't understand the nations. God, you know, He has He has elect nations. And evidently, He has nations that He saves. And He calls them nations. He calls them His people. And this word for nations means ethnic or ethnic. Same word ethnic. Now in this world, when you have ethnicity, it means discrimination oftentimes, strife, oppression, even extermination, like they tried to exterminate the Jews and people, you know, African American, Italian American, Irish American. We just cease being Americans anymore. You got to have all this ethnicity. You know, we got to have everybody, you know, you can't be this melting pot anymore. But I tell you something, in glory, everybody will be the same. Oh, and we'll all be of the same background. We're all the same ethnicity. We've all been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And we'll walk in the light of that place. All of us are one in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we get to glory, we'll love one another with the love which Christ has loved us. Paul said, Christ who loved me and gave Himself for me. Herein is love that a man lay down his life for his friends. And oh, beloved, the reason that the kings of the earth bring, look what it says here in verse 24, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. I mean, they're going to bring, you know, I got no glory, I got no honor. He gets all the glory and He gets all the honors, even the kings that are saved by the grace and power of God. And I tell you, they'll acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll acknowledge Him as the King of Kings. And that's when all the kingdoms of this world become the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, and He'll reign forever. A love of all the things that we should desire in this world. And the first thing it says, faith, hope, and charity, and the greatest of these is charity. A man can give his body to be burned at the stake without charity. Profit him nothing. Give everything that he owns, give it to the poor. Without charity, profit him nothing. He can speak in tongues and have all knowledge and understand all mysteries. Without charity, it profits him nothing. And one of these days, one of these blessed days, there'll be a time that we will be able to love, and it'll be unclouded, unhindered, by any race, any ethnicity, any discrimination, any pride, any self-righteousness, anything that hinders us from loving the way we would love today, will all be gone. And it'll be a perfect home. Won't that be something? And let me tell you something else about this. Wherever you have this love, this way, you know what else happens? You have perfect peace. And that's the next thing we'll have that we'll experience in glory. For this perfect peace. Look what it says here in verse 25. And the gates of this city, it shall not be shut all day by day, for there shall be no night there at all by day, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations. Oh my. Listen here. Wherever you have perfect love, you have perfect peace. Huh? A peaceful society. Look how much peace we enjoy here. When's the last time you heard somebody? This is when you love people and you trust people, things just right. There's peace and unity where there's love. And so you imagine we get to glory where we have this perfect love, this unclouded love, this unhindered love. When we love one another as Christ loved us, as He tells us to, it'll be by perfect peace. And here's the reason why. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Oh my, let me tell you something. There'll be such peace there that when it says the gates shall not be shut at all by day or night, tells us that there's no threats. No threats. One of the first things you do, do you lock the door? Is that door locked? Make sure the doors are locked. Huh? Well, there won't be no locks on this doors. Huh? No locks on heaven's doors. Why? Because there's no night there. People sit at night and do things in the darkness. There ain't going to be no darkness there. People do what they do in the dark. There will be no dark there.
And this is literally true. You notice God's glory will never be turned off. His light will never be turned off. Oh my. God neither slumbers or sleep, and if He don't slumber or sleep, and we get to there, I'm telling you, this is one of them great mysteries. We won't slumber or sleep. You think, you know, people only go, they only go to bed when they're tired, and they're wore out and they're weak, and there be no tiredness, no weakness, no frailty there to keep us. And we, it's one of the greatest. Oh my. And I'll tell you something, beloved, the saints in heaven will be eternally, eternally active. I really believe that. And when it talks about no night there, that means that spiritually speaking, there's no sin there. There's no darkness there. No darkness there. No sin there. There'll be no night. No night. You know, we talk about night here and darkness here. Oh, the darkness that comes and the clouds that come into our life and the darkness we feel and the depressions that we feel and all the darkness of our own hearts and that. Beloved, I'll tell you something. There'll be no darkness there. No sin there. Our relationships there will be perfect. There'll be no sin in any of our relationships. There'll be no sin in our hearts. There'll be no sin in our mind. There'll be nothing to hinder us whatsoever when we get there. Perfect, perfect peace because of perfect love and perfect harmony. Oh my. We are sin is so part and parcel of us, we can't comprehend it with that. But it'll be eradicated. It'll be gone. It'll be gone. Oh, bless His name. Let me give you the fifth thing here. And look what it says there in verse 27. There'll be godliness, perfect godliness, eternal righteousness. Look what He says in verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither worketh abomination, nor makes a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. There will be nobody there but godly people, saintly people, righteous people, people that's got their names written in the Lamb's book of life. There'll be nothing there that defiles or causes an abomination or makes a lie. Huh? Nothing there. What would heaven be like if a lie got in? What would heaven be like if we took sin in there with us? What would it be like? What would our experience be like when we got there? If something that made an abomination got in there? It wouldn't be heaven at all. The experience would be destroyed. But I tell you, beloved, who can't get in there, who's not going in there, there shall in no wise enter into anything that defiles. I'll tell you, sinners that have never been converted, people that have never been saved by the grace of God, people that have never been born again, they may stand and knock and say, "Open unto us." And our Lord will say, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Those who said, when they came into the wedding feast, and the man came in and said, "How comest thou in here without a wedding garment? Grab him hand and foot and throw him out of here." Huh? Oh, beloved, those five foolish virgins that woke up and said, "Give us some of your oil." Ain't got none. Oh, my. When they go in there, men and women go in there, anything that defiles. And I tell you, anything that's not in Christ is defiled. Anybody that's not preaching Christ with all to be all of our salvation, to be all of our righteousness, to be all of our sanctification, to be all of our wisdom, to be all of our redemption, for Christ to be our all in all. Anybody that's not preaching that, he's not preaching the gospel. And I'll tell you, men are not going to... What a shame, what a time it's going to be when they're going to say, "Lord, look what we've done. We preached in your name. Oh yes, they used the Lord's name. The Pope uses the Lord's name. But he's a defiler.
We was watching a fellow the other day, and this one of these guys had on one of these red robes and a red hat and a big old sash on his. And people was walking up to him and kissing his hand, kissing his ring. And he'd just hold it out for them to do it. That makes an abomination. There ain't nothing for by like going like that. Oh my. And that's what he says. The first thing he says, there ain't nobody going in there to defile. And that makes it worse than abomination. And I'll tell you, it's an abominable thing. It's an abominable thing. Now listen to me. To make salvation any other way than through the Lord Jesus Christ and His perfect sacrifice and His atoning death and His perfect righteousness imputed to your account. I'm telling you the truth right here. Oh my. To make salvation to depend on you in any way. To make salvation depend on you 99%, but that 1% being you. 99% being that 1% being you. That's the Bible. And I'm going to tell you something. If God and His sovereign mercy hadn't crossed my path with the gospel and taught me the gospel and made Christ known to me and revealed to me, and somebody hadn't been honest with me and preached the gospel to me and told me that I was preaching and making a lie. That's just what they come right out and said, you're preaching and making a lie. God does not use a lie to save His people. And they're honest with me and told me that. But I said that to say this, if I would have died before I learned the gospel, before I knew Christ, I'd have perished. I'd have been one of those fellows making a lie. Huh? But you see, that's the difference. If your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, He's going to cross your path with the gospel. See, when God teaches truth, you quit making lies. I got a letter from a lady today, and I told Mary I should have printed out and brought it. Got a letter from a woman today. She said, your preaching has been a lifesaver for us. Said, starving to death. And said, and I send them to my daughter, send them to my grandson. And said, my daughter's got to listening to them, and now all she can do is go up to her preacher and say, you're not preaching the right thing. Said, I'm going to have to tell her. You know, I have to quit sending to her. She wants to fight with her preacher. She wants to tell her preacher what he's not saying. But they talked about how the gospel has so changed them and taught them and gave them understanding that they never had before. And that's what he's talking about here. And listen, you know who is going in there? I'm going to tell you who is going in there. They which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's who's going. When did God write that name, the Lamb's Book of Life? Look in Revelation 13:8, and I'll show you. Now, it's talking about the beast and the worship of the beast, but this is the people that won't worship Him. Revelation 13:8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Huh? Our names were written there from the time He was slain. It wasn't written in there the day I believed. It wasn't even written in there the day I repented. It wasn't written in there the day I had the clearest understanding I ever had. I have the understanding I have now, and I have the faith I have now, and the repentance I have, because my name was written there, and God crossed my path with the gospel. You believe that, don't you? Oh my, who's going? Those who know that Christ paid the penalty of sin. Those who are made righteous only with His righteousness. Those who's made the robes white and washed them in the blood of the Lamb. And then let me give you the last one here. Look at the happiness and the joy that we will have without any bounds to it. Look what he says here in verse 1 of chapter 22. See, the Bible reveals to us a place of joy and unbounded happiness and joy. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on the other side of the river was the tree of life, yielded her fruit, the leaves of the trees for the hill and the nation. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God, the Lamb, shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be in their forehead. No more night. No need of a candle, nor the light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forevermore. You see, beloved, happiness here, people just make a lifelong pursuit of being happy. Happy, 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 happy. Happy, 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 happy. But happiness just comes and goes like that. It's a loser. The best is temporary. But all, beloved, and this is why we'll have this joy and happiness in heaven, is because all of our human needs, really human needs, are met in heaven. First of all, it has a river. It has a river. This new city has a river in it. Huh? It has street in it. It has trees in it. And it has the water of life in it. Where does that water of life come from? Out of the throne of God and out of the Lamb. Huh? Christ said, I'm the water. He said, if you'd have asked of me, and I'd give you a drink of living water. Well, that's what we'll have. We'll have water to meet the needs of our thirst. Christ, the water of life. We'll actually have water there that comes straight out of the throne of God. They had the water out of the rock in the wilderness. We'll have it out of Christ Himself when we get to glory. Coming right out of His throne. And then, beloved, trees, you know, they bear fruit. And these fruit heals the nations. And oh, beloved, I tell you what, listen what else it shows. That the tree of life tells us, you know, that you know, when Adam and Eve ate of that fruit of the tree of life in the garden, they were cursed. But when we eat the fruit of this, it's really life. We have life. We eat it, we don't eat it to get life, we eat it because we have life. We're already there and we have life. And look what else happens because of this tree, and we have this tree of life. And there it says in verse 3, look what else it says here. And there shall be no more curse. No more curse. Oh my. Never have to sweat again. Never have to hurt again. Never deal with another briar in your finger. And look here. And then look what in the throne of God the Lamb shall be. Look what happens here. They'll rule on their throne, and look what it says here. And His servants shall serve Him. We'll live in His presence and serve Him and be happy in fellowship with Him throughout eternity. And then look what it says here. His servants shall serve Him. And look what happens. Believers are reconciled to Him. And it says, face in verse 4, and they shall see His face. They shall see His face. Oh my. Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face. And not only that, but they belong to Him. Look what it says. And His name shall be in their foreheads. Somebody said to me, Spurgeon one time said, if you believe it, God's only going to save His elect, why don't you just preach to the elect? And I don't know who they are. If they all had their name elect on their forehead, I'd go hunt them out and I'd preach to every one of them. Because no man believe. But he said, I don't see no names on their forehead. But God sees the names on them. He said they belong to Him and His names is on their forehead. And you know, that has something to do with your understanding, see. It has something to do with your mind. He gets your brain. He gets your mind. He gets your understanding. He got your the Lord knows him here. That one of mine. And look what it says here. And believers are taught by Him. And there shall be no need of the sun or the night there, no candle. For the Lord God gives them light. Oh, nobody have to teach them anything. He'll teach them. He'll give them the light. And then beloved believers will rule with Him. And look what it says here. And they shall reign with Him forever and ever. We're going to rule with Him. We're going to reign for Him with Him forever and ever. You see, the gospel is forever. It never changes. Our Lord Jesus Christ says forever. New life in our Lord Jesus Christ is forever. Heaven is forever. But just as all these things are forever and eternal, hell also is forever and eternal. Where we all have an eternal life, they'll have eternal darkness. Where we have eternal life, they'll have eternal damnation. And that's why, beloved, our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Come unto me. Come unto me. Believe me. Repent. Turn to me. I'm the only one to give you life. I'm the water of life." And let me show you this in 1 Peter 2:9 and 10, and I'm done. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 9 and 10, and I'm done. My goodness, I've preached a long time tonight. I hope y'all's ready for it. Great stuff tonight. Oh. Look what he says here about it. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, purchased people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who had called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." That's the folks that's going to go and experience this wonderful place called glory. Huh? What a day, what a day, what a day that'll be.